Amen. May God bless that message to our hearts again, and may we know that we're stayed upon Jehovah, and thank God we can find that peace and rest. Now we're turning to the book of Ruth for our scripture reading again, to the first chapter of the book of Ruth. And I wonder if we could read from verse 1 of the chapter, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and reading from the first verse of the chapter again. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose and her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Can we just bow in a word of prayer? Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for the messages and song already tonight. We thank thee we have lifted our eyes heavenward and seen our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we'd ask thee that thou wouldst put thy hand upon the message already gone forth, and thou wouldst speak to us even as we open up the Bible now, and as we would seek to glean from the pages of Holy Writ handfuls on purpose. Lord, bless us tonight. Just put thy hand upon us, and do us good as we wait upon thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we would ask these things. Amen. Amen. There was a Christian man who took his eyes off the Lord and went in a backslidden path. And in his backsliding, he committed a crime and was given a 7-year sentence. But when he was in the prison, he had an encounter with a Barnabas-like pastor who led him to know the restorative power that there is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after this man had come back to Christ, he wrote on the flyleaf of his Bible these words. He said, The soul that comes to Jesus through failure, shame, or pain by his wondrous love and mercy, may soar us high again. And in this passage of Scripture, we have a reminder of the wondrous love and mercy of our God, and the fact that the sad heart can soar again. Now, the last time we looked at the book of Ruth, we thought about Elimelech and his family going down to Moab. And we likened that to the path of backsliding. They shouldn't have been in that heathen and idolatrous land. And we saw the effects upon the family of such a move. There was death in the family. Both Elimelech died and his two sons also died. They tried to get away from the famine, and we said that they should have remained and trusted God for his mercy, because God would have brought them through. And indeed, that's what happened to the people who did stay in the land. God caused the people to repent, and when there was repentance, God sent the bread again. And you notice that word comes down to Moab of the blessing of the Lord upon the land. God had blessed the land. And we read that Naomi hears that, and as she is in her distress and in her destitute situation, a desire arises in her heart, that she'll go back to her own home. Like the prodigal, she's going to return to the place where her God is. And why, what a blessed desire it is that she has. But the focus here is not upon Naomi. Really, the focus, of course, of the book is upon Ruth. But in the passage here, we read about three widows. We read about Naomi herself, who is an Israelite, and then we have her two daughters-in-law, who are Moabites, Orpah and Ruth. And as we come into the story, we find that they've arisen to go to Judah, but on the road there comes a crossroads. On the road there comes the time of choice. And on the road along there comes that time when they have to make a decision, each one of them. Now there are three different cases here as we look at the three different widows. And I wonder tonight which represents you. You know, at some time or other in our lives, we come to those crossroads moments. We come to those crossroads times. Those times when the choice that we make will make a difference. Maybe for time, maybe even for eternity. And who knows, but in this meeting tonight, it may be a crossroads for you as far as your soul's eternal destiny is concerned. So tonight we want to see three widows at a spiritual crossroads. And I want us to see what they do. And I want us to see how they respond to the call of God. And the first widow is a widow who returned to the ways of God. We're looking at Naomi first of all. And here she is, she's destitute in the foreign land. She'd lost her life partner, she'd lost also her family, her two sons. And you can almost think here of her destitute situation. And it was destitute. There was no relief for widows in those days. There was no widow's pension or anything like that. In the land of Israel, there was a provision for the widow. There was a provision made for the widow. But here in the land of Moab, there was no provision whatsoever. So she was in an absolutely destitute position altogether. And the hardship in Moab was worse than what she would have had in Judah. Now they had fled from Judah to escape the hardship. But all they do is find worse hardship. They find worse difficulty. And we think of the prodigal son who was in the far country and would fain fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And he came to himself, the Bible says. And he thought about his home. And he thought about the fact that his servants, the very servants of his father, were fed better than he was. And as he thought about home, there came that desire. There came that awakening in his heart to go back home again and to find the plenty that he lost. And old men and women, I wonder tonight, perhaps you're in the far country, and I wonder tonight, have you been thinking about God? You know, it was so awful that that young fella forgot about his father's house. It's so awful here that Naomi has to be brought through her destitution to think about the land of promise. They've been 10 years in the land now. They had so long in this land of idolatry and destitution. And it takes this awful situation to bring her to your senses. And maybe you're here tonight, and it's been a long time since you thought about your soul. It's been a long time since you thought about the things of God. You know, you think about the mercy of God and the grace of God and what he did in sending his son. And so often the people don't think about God. They don't think about the things of God. I know a man that once forgot his wife. And her wife was actually expecting a baby at the time. And he went home without her. He left her in an aunt's house and forgot about her and went home again. When he was at home, he remembered about the wife. Now you wonder how somebody would forget about the wife. Maybe he was thinking about something else. You think that you'd hear the noise, at least, or the lack of it, along the way. But you know, we can forget about God. So very easily, we can forget about God. And I am afraid there are so many people, God's people, and we wonder how they could forget the one that they loved and loved them so much. But here she was, and when she heard, she determined to go home. And old men and women, you might come home. Come home to that place of refuge and that place of peace and safety. Now notice the cause of her return. I really think there was a divine awakening in her heart. But it says here that she heard. It says that she heard that God had visited his people and giving them bread there in verse 6. And she heard about the blessings of God in the far country, in the land of promise, in Bethlehem, Judah. And old men and women, we have God's word. We have the gospel message. Thank God this word is opened. Thank God there's a direction from God's precious word. And oh, that you might hear, not only with the outward hearing of the ears and in the mind, but hear with the inward hearing of the heart. Oh, that God would deal with your heart. That God would lay hold upon you tonight. And that you might come to him. Oh, here she was. And you notice not only the communication of her return, but look at the cause of her return. Because she had no hope. She had no hope in Moab. There was no hope for today because she was destitute. And she had no hope for tomorrow. Look at what she says in verses 12 and 13. She says, "Turn, my daughters, go your way, for I am old and have no husband. If I should say, I hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord hath gone out against me." And she's saying, I've no future. I've no future. My future's gone. She said, I've no hope for today and no hope for tomorrow. Now, she was wrong. But you know, she realized how dark it was in Moab. There was nothing to return to. There was nothing to hold on to there. There was nothing to grasp hold of. All was destitution in the land of Moab. And I hope, men, women, if you've wandered away from God, if you have got into the far country, and you begin to realize that there's nothing there. But notice not only the communication that led to her return and the cause of her return, but look at the choice she made to return. Look at verse 6 again. It says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab." And she made that choice. She said, "I'm going back again." Now, she might have heard about the blessings that God had in Bethlehem, Judah. She might have been informed about the blessings that God had in Bethlehem, Judah. But until she actually got up and went there, they were of no use to her. Those blessings were no good. It's like the prodigal when he said, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee." You know you're right. You know the right way. You know the right way. But you've got to get up and go to the Father. You've got to go. You've got to go. So we notice here this widow. She was a widow who returned. to the ways of God. There's some backslider here tonight. Or you can come back to the ways of God. But then I want you to notice something else. We notice the second widow. And she's a widow who rejected the ways of God. Now I'm thinking here about Orpah. And you'll notice that these girls here, Ruth and Orpah, were challenged to return to their pagan gods and to their wicked lifestyle. Look at verse 8. Here's the words of Naomi to them. It says, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Now I think that Naomi here is actually making a test. I think the evidence in the passage is that Naomi, even in her backslidden condition, had witnessed to her daughter-in-laws about her God. Because you'll notice what Ruth said in verse 16. She just speaks about, "Thy God, I will make thy God my God." So Naomi had identified the Lord God of Israel as her God. Somewhere along the line, Ruth had heard about the God of Israel, and it seems from the evidence that she'd heard from Naomi. But I want you to notice that Naomi now puts a test. She wants to know whether the two God daughters-in-law are really in earnest about going. And so she says to them, "Go return each to his mother's house." And here was the test of willingness. Here was the test that they were going to face. Would they embrace Naomi? Would they go the whole way with her? Or would they turn back? And you know, tonight there is that test that comes. I wonder tonight, are you willing to go through with God? I wonder, are you willing to give your heart to God? Because that's what the Lord demands. He demands your whole heart. He demands your whole life. He demands all that you are. Body, soul, mind, heart, everything. God wants you all. He doesn't want half of you. He wants the sacrifice, a living sacrifice, put on the altar for him. And don't start out on the journey and stop, dear friend. You know, you might have come halfway. You might have said to yourself, "Someday I'll be saved." You might have said to yourself, "Someday I'll go on that journey that leads me to God." For my dear friend, if you stop halfway in the journey, you'll remember that day that you stopped for all eternity, and you will do so with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But I want you to notice Orpah here. Orpah, first of all, weeps. But then her mother-in-law says to her, "You know, I could have no sons. She's talking about the Israelite custom of levirate marriage. If one son died, then the wife would be taken by another son, and so on and so forth. It was a custom that you have in the book of Deuteronomy, the custom of levirate marriage. But she says, "You've no prospect of any sons if you come with me, or any husband if you come with me." And I want you to see how this girl is enticed. She's enticed by her family. Notice what Naomi says in verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house." And there's a mention of the mother. Now what an enticement that must have been to a young girl, a young married girl. She's not married to all. The enticement to go home. The enticement of the family. Here were blessed ties. Here were loving relationships. You go back to their family. Rather than trust in the gospel. You go into the bosom of your family. Rather than go through with God. Myers, the mention of the family was a big enticement. Now, it didn't get Orpah fully. Orpah didn't go for that one. But what an enticement that is to so many. The crowd, the family. What would they say? How would they react if I got saved? But then she was enticed by the future. As we said, nobody told her, "There's no husbands for you. There's no future for you. You're going to be a widow if you come with me." And there would be no benefits. There'd be a hard life. No husband in Israel. Everybody would be antagonistic to you. You'd be a foreigner. And you know, here as she thought about that, that's something that really troubled her. And it was that that made her turn. Maybe you think tonight, you know, Naomi really painted a black picture. She could have told her daughters-in-law about the blessing of God in Jerusalem and in Judah. Could have told her about how God would undertake for them. She didn't say any of those things. She just painted the black picture. And how often it is that the devil will paint the black picture. He doesn't tell you about the God of Israel, the God who is able to bring you through, the God who is there to meet you at the point of your need, and who says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." But you know, there are many people, when they look at Christianity, and they think to themselves, you know, if I get saved, I'll have no future. I wouldn't be able to go to the places I go. Wouldn't be able to go to the nightclubs where I could get a husband or get a wife. Wouldn't be able to go to the public houses where I can meet with people and meet somebody there or something along that lines. There'd be no future for me if I got saved. You know this, men and women, when Orpah turns round, we never hear about her again in the Bible. She goes out into oblivion. Ruth, on the other hand, we're going to hear now, who followed on and went on through. We hear her story here in the Bible. And not only that, but she comes as part of the line. She's an ancestress, humanly speaking, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she gets a real blessing. You know, there are people that tell you of no future if you get saved. But you have an eternity of future if you get saved. And without Christ, you have an eternity of the second death. So go through with God. Now I want you to see that Orpah didn't take her decision lightly. We're told that when she made her decision to go back, it says in verse 9, they lifted up their voice and wept. And then in verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept. She doesn't go back lightly. Tears are no indication. An emotion is no indication of reality. She wept in leaving Naomi. But she left. And you mightn't want to leave God. And you might want to be saved. But have you been saved? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Are you saved tonight? Here's a widow who rejected the ways of God. So we have a widow who returned to the ways of God. And a widow who rejected the ways of God. But thirdly, we want to look at Ruth. She's a widow who received the ways of God. Now we notice that Orpah, she listens to this challenge and she goes back. She is urged by Naomi to go back, and so is Ruth. Ruth is told about the same future in Bethlehem. She's told about the same things if she follows on. She'll have to leave behind her family. She'll have to leave behind her future, as where it seems. But evidently somebody, and I believe it was Naomi, had told Ruth about the Lord God of Israel. And down through the years, Ruth had been taking that in. And somewhere along the lines, some enlightenment had entered into Ruth's heart. And she's determined to go with God. Look at the faith with which she comes. She doesn't have a prospect in front of her. It doesn't look too bright. But with faith, she's going to go with Naomi. With faith, she's going to go. And she's learned of the mercy and providence with God. And in faith, she's going to the place where that God reigns. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We've got to come by faith. Not only do you see the faith with which she comes, but look at the finality with which she comes. Look at her words in verse 16. You have those lovely words that she repeats. And says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And she devotes every second of every remaining day that she walks on this earth to the Lord. Now there's no looking back there. She says in verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. Genuine Christianity is total commitment. What had she to go back to? Darkness, doom, destitution, defeat. And she says, no, I'm going on. I'm going to Bethlehem, Judah, to the house of bread. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Luke 14 and 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, I want you all. I want you all. No holding back. No turning back. And look at what Ruth says. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Will you own him? Will you take him? Will you give your all to him? That's what he's demanding. Is he your God? Is he your Savior? If not, then come and make him your Savior tonight. Let me ask you, which of these poor widows is you? Which of them is you right now? Are you one who's gone away from God and need to return? Well, do like Naomi, get up and go. Maybe you're like Orpah. You're a rejecter. Well, maybe with tears, maybe with reluctance. Maybe you'd like to be seen. But nevertheless, a rejecter. Orpah goes out into oblivion. Don't do the same. Or are you like Ruth? You're determined tonight, with God's help, to go through with God, to give your all to him, to come to his feet, to be cleansed in his precious shed blood, to come to that place called Calvary, where our Savior bled and died, and there receive the cleansing of your sins, and go at the call of God to Bethlehem, Judah, to the house of bread. Oh, come when the Savior in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Come to him. Which widow is you? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.